is the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet line change. Now, back to Eric Messersmith, TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, Hannah Yates, and Matt Whitener on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Darren Pang breaking down the Kevin Shattenkirk trade coming up in a few minutes. Hey guys, this article from the New York Post. What turns a woman on is something most men often find complicated.
Just you, Eric. It's a great article.
I do all right, TJ. Luckily, science has done a little of the hard work for you, delving into the intricate female mind to discover what really gets her going.
Yeah, science texts in.
Here are some of the things that apparently women like. A furrowed eyebrow.
Check.
A furrowed or wrinkled brow can turn a woman on more than a happy face.
Like this.
A study published in Evolution and Human Behavior found men who displayed the feature had traits of narcissism.
Damn right.
Which apparently women like. Also, this is a pretty obvious one. Creativity and intelligence.
Check.
Stubble.
Check.
A deep voice.
Check.
And here you go, Cam. You check this one. Mm-hmm. Sweat.
You're damn right.
Yes, that's right, sweat. A study published in the Journal of Neuroscience found women were sexually aroused, had faster heartbeats, and increased levels of the stress hormone cortisol when they smelled male sweat.
I know, it's crazy. I always bitch about my sweating, and then all of a sudden I read this article. I'm like, you know what, this makes sense.
Hannah, what are your thoughts on that? A male...
Hannah? You know... I don't know what they mean by sweat, because if you're profusely sweating, I'm like, are you okay?
Yeah, and as you ask me that,
you're not turned on by
I'm not
that,
turned
odor.
On in any means. And if you approach me and hug me and you have BO, I'm probably going to slowly move away from you.
Is that why you're moving away from me all day today?
I've just pictured some guy walking up to Hannah sweating and her just looking at him like he's from another planet.
See, Cam, maybe you thought it was your charm and your good looks and your physical condition.
You would win the game.
Yeah. Eric, you left some things out of that list, though.
Oh, yeah.
There's leather, clean sheets, and a cool name.
Well, clean sheets. That waves bye-bye to me. Like,
I got to think she thinks you're pretty cool if she knows whether your sheets are clean or not. So
well,
I think
you
that kind of takes
I'm not
care
a fan of
it.
The leather jacket.
But if you like sweat, then you don't like clean sheets because you sweat your ass off when you sleep. Right? Anybody else sweat when they sleep? Jesus.
You need to get one of those new cooling mattresses.
I need a lot of things, Eric.
But
an attractive name that kind of like reminds me. It's like a different, unique name. I don't know what they mean by that.
Chris.
But the thing, yeah, what is that?
What
I don't understand. I feel like more girls are like, oh, his name's different. Or like they love like the foreign accent or the foreign,
Well, if I was a chick, though, I would be like, well, I don't want to talk to him because if I end up really liking him, I don't want that last name. So I'd rather just pass on him.
No, I'd never think about that.
Jeez, Maddie.
I don't think
of someone wifing me up the moment that they come speak to me.
Well, I'm just talking about if it advances a little bit, if you find out that, you know, he's got.
They're talking about first name.
Right. No, I think they're talking about...
Right? I thought they were talking about first name.
Yeah, it's first names. But I could see the last name thing being something, too.
Yeah, I get that.
King says, I sweat through my sheets every Sunday night.
I know, dude. I mean, I don't know, but I know I do.
Poor Kate. I mean...
poor Kate with a lot of things. Although, she's flying on a private jet for the first time and on a yacht for the first time. So she's doing pretty good coming up here in the next couple of days. But yeah, I'm going to sweat all over.
White Marcus on the text line, Hannah, my brow is furled and my name is unique. Holla.
I don't understand the brow. I'm like, are you confused?
I don't think it's a confused look. It's more like a...
The concerned look? I'm like, what did I do? Why are you concerned? I don't understand any of this.
I don't know. But I checked off a lot of boxes and I'm feeling pretty good about myself.
Yeah, you got the sweat one.
I feel like
I had heard that.
Who
before.
Wrote this? A girl or a guy?
Somebody that doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. Apparently,
a woman wrote this, but I think it might just be her personal preference because I'm not sure.
I think she's trying to do me a favor somehow.
Creativity and intelligence, yes, 100%.
Well, yeah,
that's like saying good looks are important.
If you're beautiful, yeah. I mean, of course.
Or you know what women like? Money. I mean, it's just like obvious.
Successful.
Obvious
being successful.
Things.
Yeah, of course.
But I have heard that before, though, about the sweat thing. That there's a chemical released, and there's a natural thing that draws you to
that. I don't care, but that's not something that I'm attracted to, and it turns me on.
No, I know, but I'm pretty... self-aware of my sweatiness, and I do worry about it sometimes. It's uncomfortable as hell because I'll be cold and I'll sweat, or you'll be hot and you'll sweat, and then it becomes cold and I'm freezing because I'm soaked like I am now, and you're just miserable all day. The biggest problem I have in the mornings is not – okay, is hang around.
Yeah, we need to know. Let's go to Ryan. Let's go to Ryan Kelly Folage. Welcome in, Darren Pack.
You were going to keep going.
Panger, I'm sorry you had to come in on that note. Cam talking about his sweating problem.
Oh, hey, Panger, long day for you today, huh, buddy?
Hey, Cam, what is the worst thing that you feel in the morning again? Let's just go back to that for a second.
It's trying to organize my clothes because I sweat through my clothes and I got to bring another set and I sweat through that and I got to bring another sweat. It's a pain in the ass, Panger.
Wow.
You know
You know what it is? You worked out way too much as a player. You're going to have to start getting used to being a media guy.
I think
no working out means no sweating. It's a really good thing.
You're probably right. The thing is, I'm not working out right now. That's the thing.
He does consume a lot of caffeine.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there's an obscene amount of caffeine, Pang, that he's consuming.
I haven't slept for 3 days. I got to drink this coffee to stay awake here.
Let's break down this trade, but start with this. What is your reflections and thoughts about losing Kevin Shattenkirk?
Well, I think number one is, as a broadcaster, when you're around these guys day in and day out, as Cam well knows, you establish a different kind of relationship. It's not a player-player relationship, but it is a former player, and you're always leaning on these guys. You're asking them questions in the tough times, and you're all, you know, full of elation when it's going great. I've really enjoyed being with Kevin, and I'm going to say this for a number of different reasons. He's a highly intelligent guy that, you know, when you're in that locker room and you're just searching for some type of storyline or you ask him a question and maybe the question doesn't come off the right way, he just always finds a way and has always found a way to make you feel comfortable. And it doesn't matter if it's me in the room or Chaser or Bernie or our regular staff or if it's a very inexperienced broadcaster. I think he's got a great personality. He's a respectful person. And so, you know, all of that, we're certainly going to miss Shatty. I was able to talk to him briefly last night. And, he's so thankful of his time here, the 6 years that he spent in St. Louis. But moving forward to that, as a hockey player, he was better than a specialized hockey player. I mean, a lot of people just talk about Kevin as a power play guy, and there's no question that he was a quarterback back there. But he was, you know, he was a good, really good defenseman. Maybe not good enough to be a defending defenseman, as you well know. He didn't get a lot of those assignments, if any. I know he wanted a little bit more of that responsibility, but his forte wasn't on the defensive side of it. It was clearly on the offensive side of it, and they're going to miss that. I know Tarasenko and Steen and the guys on the power play, they're clearly going to miss Kevin Shattenkirk. I look at this as an unbelievable opportunity, you know, for Colton Preko to step his game up, for Bortuzzo to get in there, for Vince Dunn in the minors and Jordan Schmaltz in the minors. I think the cupboard is so full with right-handed defensemen that's what makes a player like Kevin Shattenkirk, even as good as he is, you know, an expendable player, the guy that you can't spend $7 million a year for 8 years on. And so those decisions get made. But all in all, everybody, I love Kevin. I love talking hockey, golf, baseball, you name it. And that part of it will certainly be missed.
When Doug Armstrong spoke to the media today, I think he used the term dark horse to describe the team. And look, if the playoffs started today, they would be in the playoff hunt as the last wild card. But clearly the season has not gone how anyone hoped or expected. What do you think is the main reason that this season hasn't worked out quite the way that everyone hoped?
Well, I think the team started off with such inconsistent play. On one night they're beating the best teams, and on another night, you know, they're not just losing the game 3-2; they're losing the game, 6-2 or 7-3, and didn't have as much fight in their game. I think. When Doug Armstrong said it earlier in the year about taking a step back, no one liked that kind of statement. But I think what he was saying, and this is how I heard it, was there is no David Backes or Steve Ott or Troy Brower. They're gone. So we're probably going to take a step back just to see which players want to take a step forward and which guys are going to step into those roles. The disappointing thing for me, under Ken Hitchcock, who always had his teams fighting to the very end, was this year's version wilted away into the night on games that a little adversity hit them in the face. And that was probably the most disappointing part early on. But I've liked the way they played under Mike. I've liked the spirit that they've shown. And maybe this is a 2 years ago version of Mike Yeo's Minnesota Wild. They were scrapping and clawing to get in the playoffs. They were playing playoff hockey for a month and a half just to get into the playoffs. And then they beat the St. Louis Blues in the first round. And so maybe this is that version. And maybe the experience that Mike has with that team a few years ago will help this team going forward.
Well, that's hockey for you, Panger. Look, as this trade as a whole, and I know Doug Armstrong was backed into a corner on this, and whether he did it to himself or whatever the case is, I think he made the right decision on this. I really do. I don't think that keeping Shattenkirk and having him walk at the end of the year, trying to maybe get through the first round and risking that and having him just absolutely walk like we've seen time and time again, I think this was the right play. We got a first-round pick. We got a 6'4" center that could play wing two. Those are very, very difficult prospects to find, and that's where we need depth up in the middle. So what do you think as this trade as a whole and who we got back? I know it's very confusing because they got to go a little farther in the playoffs and things like that for other things to work out, but what do you think of this trade as a whole, Panger?
Well, you know what, Cam? Last year, no one talked about David Backus being a UFA. No one talked about Troy Brouwer being a UFA because the team was rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the points that Army made today is that this is a different team than last year. If this team was the Minnesota Wild and in first place, he's not trading Kevin Shattenkirk. He'll use those players the same way. Last year, he got to the third round with Brouwer and Backus and Steve Ott and Brian Elliott. And so I look at this trade as you have to get assets back. You can't have a couple of years in a row and just have guys that are still have good years left and get zero for them if they're going to walk. So I think he know he was hopeful, Cam, to get a deal earlier. It was much talked about and reported by. I think it was Bob McKenzie of TSN that reported the previous deal with Tampa Bay. If that deal works out and Shaddy likes that deal in Tampa Bay, then 8 weeks ago he's moved along, and I don't know the player that would come in return, but it obviously was a deal that Doug Armstrong liked, and then this team would be moving along right now. And what's impressed me most, Cam, is that being in the room today talking to the players. I asked them, like, what's you guys okay? Is this going to be a setback? How are we going to be on the ice? Are you going to be flat? And they're like, no, we've been expecting this, and we're good. We're moving on here. You know, somebody's going to get some ice time, and so yeah. that's a really good thing to hear. They're sad that their buddy's gone, and he's a good, really good guy and a great playmaker on the power play, but at the end of it, they're happy for Robert Bortuzzo. He'll get more ice time. And they've got to move forward. And I like their mentality. And I would be very surprised if this was a clunker tonight. I think this team's going to go out and show people, hey, we're more than just one guy, and we're going to pick up Robert Bortuzzo or Colton Parayko or whoever it is and step up and make sure we move along here and make the playoffs and be in a good spot.
Yeah, they definitely had some high spirits. We were both in the locker room today, and you did notice that everybody was pretty perky, and you just saw it in their eyes. But I know Shaddy took a little bit of flack for – you know, obviously that was leaked with the $42 million offer to Tampa, and people were kind of giving him flack for turning down that kind of money. But what I said was, you work from the day you started playing, you work your ass off, you finally make it to the NHL, and you do all you sacrifice for years just to put yourself in this sort of position. This is the best spot you could possibly be in. You're unrestricted. You're putting a lot of points up. You're QB, quarterback, and power plays. You've been consistent for years. You are in the best spot to really, really, really take advantage of this market. And if as a player, I see that and I'm like, yes, Shaddy, I would absolutely do the same thing. And I know he took a lot of flack, but don't you agree that you work your ass off so you can get in this position and take advantage as much as possible because you did that for yourself? Am I wrong on that?
Well, you're not wrong at all. There is always a gamble, as you know, Cam.
Yeah.
I mean, that $42 million or that seven-year deal, as reported from Tampa Bay, you know, maybe on July 1, you know, Washington doesn't have the cap space for him, or the Rangers, they don't have it, or something's happened. You know, like, you just never know if you're going to get that kind of deal with somebody else. Obviously, Kevin Shattenkirk and his agent, Jordan Newman, they feel pretty confident that there's a half a dozen teams out there that are going to bid for his services. So, he, you know, he's obviously looking at a certain player out there that was signed for 6.31, which was Keith Yandle. The numbers back up Kevin Shattenkirk more so. And so he's looking, that 6.3 a year cap that he got a year ago, I mean, Brent Burns getting 8x8, that's a different animal than what we're talking about here. Kevin Shattenkirk obviously feels like he can get 7x7 and go to a place and see a bit of a bidding war. So, I mean, I don't begrudge him for that whatsoever. You know, and maybe as it turns out, maybe Tampa Bay comes back to the dance later on, or, you know, maybe a team that's surprising, maybe Philadelphia that's going to lose three unrestricted free agent defensemen. Maybe they decided, you know, wow, we can make a run at Kevin Shattenkirk, and maybe he ends up getting 7.5x7 years. Who the heck knows? Just hope he doesn't get burnt in the end and lose out on the $42 million and doesn't get an offer as good as that at the end of the day.
Well, it can go either way. What if he goes and dominates his playoff run in Washington and wins a Stanley Cup? I mean, then he might be making even more. Who knows? But again, he put himself in a great spot. And I got one more question for you. And I went on that Chicago trip, Panger, and I actually had an absolute blast with the fans and on the buses and stuff like that. But that was the first time I've been in United Center as a fan, really. And you look at that building, which was built in 94-95, the same as Scott Trade Center. And of course they have more corporate money and they've won championships and stuff like that, but they put on a absolute spectacle in that arena, and that arena looks brand new. And again, we'll never be there, but how crucial is this money that Scott Trade Center needs to get to upgrade the facility, to upgrade the Jumbotron, to upgrade the sound and everything for sponsors and seats and all that? I mean, it's going to go a long way, and we're never going to keep up to that corporate sponsors that Chicago brings in. But boy, oh boy, do we need some money for this Scott Trade Center so we could move along and really promote it better. I mean, people can't even hear you talk between periods because we just need upgrades big time. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Cam, and I'm glad you noticed that going to a building like Chicago.
I know.
Like, I mean, it's we go through, like, Minnesota's a newer rink than St. Louis. They've had new seats, I think, twice since it was built.
I know.
Like, our fans that pay money to be season ticket holders, they deserve new seats.
Yep.
They deserve cleaner seats. They need updated Jumbotron. There are so many things that are
food,
at
everything.
Scott Trade Center in order to compete with the other teams, in order to compete with unrestricted free agents,
exactly.
In order to compete with NCAA events,
mm-hmm.
in order to bring money into the St. Louis area to boost the economy.
It's
the one common thing that we have here that's not going away. It's the St. Louis Blues and 41 home dates a year plus playoffs and preseason. So, yeah, the money's necessary, and it's not a money grab. It's a necessary grab.
Yep. It's a future for your future. Hey, Panger, I know you're busy as all hell, buddy. Thanks for coming on, my man. We'll talk soon.
My pleasure, bud. Keep up the great work, you guys. Enjoy the show.
Hell yeah, buddy. See you later.
Darren Pang, Fox Sports Midwest. You can watch him tonight when the Blues take on Edmonton
at
7 o'clock.
He's so cool.
No, he's great.
He's so knowledgeable. That's why he's been doing this for so damn long. That's why everybody loves him. He's willing to come on. Do you realize I texted him to come on today, and he probably went through his schedule and was like, I could squeak in 10 minutes for you. I mean, you know how busy he is right now? He's probably doing another interview right now, and he finds a way to come on for 10 minutes and shoot the crap with us. So, Panger, you're the man. Thanks, dude.
He's probably impressed by the fact that you picked that fight that time, and then he pumped you way up.
He's on our he's actually on our show every single day. That's the only part of the intro I like.
855-282-8255. That's the text line. Also, the Ryan Kelly phone line. Tweeted us at LineChangeSTL. 1 hour to go. Dan Rosen of NHL.com is going to join us coming up at 5:30. Eric Messersmith, Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, Hannah Yates, and Matt Whitener. We're the Line Change, driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.